devil. So I've always been like this, folks. You know, the next day he asked me home for supper. He said, I want you to come home and eat with me. I said, okay. So I went home, and boy, I went to more southern dinners now. Potatoes, mashed potatoes, collards, ham, pork. I mean, one of them old-fashioned, three or four kind of pies. You know what I'm talking about? One of them big old southern-type dinners. And after he got finished feeding me real good, he said, I want to ask you a question, preacher. I said, oh, I figured this was coming. He said, am I going to go to hell for chewing tobacco? And I was going to tell him yes. And the Lord said, tell him no. So I said, no. Oh. See, that guy was ready for an argument, see? See, he'd been arguing with preachers for years. Tobacco ain't mentioned in the Bible. Ain't no different than coffee. So when I told him he wasn't going to go to hell for chewing tobacco, he said, what? So what kind of homeless preacher are you? See, every homeless preacher in this town tells you I'm going to go to hell for chewing tobacco, and you tell me I'm not going to. His poor fellow was lost because he had no argument. See, what are you trying to do? I said, Deacon, let me tell you something. You ain't going to hell for chewing tobacco. Are you going to go to hell for being a hypocrite? He said, boy, I never thought about it like that. God knows, doesn't he? Sure. And nobody goes to hell for sin. I tried to bring that point out the other night. Nobody goes to hell because of sin. There's not one sin. There is not one sin big enough to put you in hell. God forgives sin. And nobody goes to hell because of sin. Because if they do, you are going there. Now you see, I can hear all of these minds going, wait a minute. Now what about the unpardonable sin? God would even forgive that one if you'd ask. That's what the unpardonable sin is. You get to the place where you won't ask. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. If the Spirit draws you and you don't come, now you have took a stand against the Holy Ghost. That's the unpardonable sin. The only sin God won't forgive is the one you don't confess. If you confess it, He'll forgive it. Come on, folks. So men don't go to hell because of sin, you see. That's where the devil's defeating the church, because they got the church where they won't confess sin no more. Come on, that's where he's defeating a lot of church folk. That's where a lot of church folk have lost their victory, because they won't confess sin anymore. Oh, I just one of my weaknesses, or I have a fault. You don't want to call it sin. Hello. Everybody's mad at me, say amen. Oh, right. Who did that? Praise the Lord. You was wrong that time? Lord, have mercy on you, Daddy. All right. The little sermon I have tonight has to do with faith, and has to do with a lot of things, and it won't take me long to preach it if you all just bear with me. I want to read from the book of Mark, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to read from the 21st verse. Mark 5, verse 21. Everybody listening, say aye. Aye. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered onto him, and he was nigh onto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. Jesus went with him. Now, you don't believe he was going over there to watch the little girl die, do you? You know, this is such a beautiful story, because it fits into what I'm going to preach on tomorrow night, too, you see. Here's a father. A father who finds out his little girl is dying. She's at the point of death. Any moment she could be dead. He runs to Jesus, and he is fortunate enough to get to him. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, you can get to him. Yeah, without an appointment. 24-hour call. He used to sing a song, he used to go, Central's never busy, he's always on the line. You can talk to Jesus almost any time. Why, it's a royal service, and it's free to one and all. We can talk to Jesus on that royal telephone. Huh? Praise the Lord. He's always listening. Come on. You know, I heard a man say some time ago, he said, can you imagine the magnitude of God's ability? 4 billion people upon the face of the earth, and he... Oh, his ear is open unto our cry. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Somebody say, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So this father comes to Jesus, and he gets to him, and he runs up. It's almost impossible to show you the desperation that must have been on the man's face. Suppose one of your children was dying. And he, somebody says, hey, Jesus is passing through town. And the father runs out there, and he loses all dignity. There's no time. He ain't worried about his reputation. You better watch where you're going. I don't care what people say. That man can do something. So he runs up to Jesus, and he falls down. He says, sir, he said, I heard about you. But I heard how you raised the dead and cleansed the lepers and fed the 5,000, walked the water. And I've heard all about you, sir. He said, now my daughter's lying at home at the point of death. He's going. Let's go along. So a great crowd of people got behind him. Now, you all know the rest of that story, don't you? But as he was going, the woman with the issue of blood touched him. Remember? Now, let's picture this for a minute. Here Jesus walking out. Can you see the Father? That's the one you got to see. You got to see the Father. Can you see him? He's got Jesus going in the right direction now. This way, Lord. This way. This way. This way. And he's pushing through the crowd. Can you see him? All of a sudden, Jesus stops. This way, Lord. This way, sir. In a minute, sir. Something else I got to do. But my daughter. My daughter. You see, we all forget about the man when we start talking about the woman. Come on. We all forget about this man. We hear Jesus talking to the woman, but we forget about this man whose daughter is dying. Can you see the man? Please, sir. Please, Jesus. I had him going in the right direction. If you don't hurry, something's going to be wrong. Jesus. I'll be right with you, sir. Just a minute. Just a minute. While he's dealing with the woman with the issue of blood, taps the father on the shoulder and says, don't trouble him no more. Ain't no sense you messing around anymore. See, we forgot about the man, didn't we? We all forgot about the man. There he was standing in the presence of a miracle. A miracle was taking place. Come on! And he was standing in the presence of a miracle and got bad news. I think one of the most remarkable incidences right here. The father, if I could illustrate this, I could see the father saying, oh no, my God, oh no. I had this man going. He was just about ready to get there. And Jesus turned around and heard what they said to him, and he answered them. And I'm going to change this for you now. See, I know what the Bible said, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus meant. They said to the man, the touch of the shoulder, said, trouble the master no more. First of all, you are no trouble to God. Come on, ain't nothing too hard for him. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. That's a lie from the pits of hell. He is concerned and he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. And they said, trouble the master no more. Your daughter is dead. Hey, you're talking to life. Jesus turned around and said to the man, sir, don't listen to him.
Somebody, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. Sure he did.
He said to the man, fear not. Believe only. Come on. Come on. In other words, don't listen to them. They said your daughter's dead. Don't listen to them. They say you're troubling me. Don't listen to them. I'm still the same man who you talked to a few moments ago, and I'm on my way, and what I have begun, I will finish. Where I have started, I will accomplish. Come on. Let's go on. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When he reached out his hand and saved you, brother and sister, he's going to finish that work. You better mark that down. He's going to accomplish what he started out in your life. Oh, new hope rose up in the man, and he started to lead Jesus across the way, and he got over to the house, and they'd already had the girl's body all bathed, all anointed. Come on, and they were having the wake.
Amen.
Jesus walked in and said, you know, I keep trying to tell you, if Jesus was living today, we'd kill him quicker than we did back then. Because this guy sure did mess up things. Can you imagine having a wake?
Amen.
And he walked in and said, what are y'all making this fuss about?
They were on there.
Ah, stop that crying. What's wrong with you folk? What do you mean, what's wrong with us? The little girl's dead. No, she ain't. She ain't dead.
Brother's dead. The doctor said I got cancer.
No, you don't. You ain't got it.
The doctor said I got high blood pressure.
No, you don't. Don't listen to him.
Doctor, I got sickle cell anemia.
Nah. I don't swing a lot of fuss about it. You ain't got it.
Don't listen to him.
Hallelujah.
But he said, I got high blood pressure.
No, you don't.
No, heart trouble. No, you haven't got none. Don't listen to him.
People keep asking me how I keep from getting sick, and I tell them simple. I don't go to a doctor who can tell me I'm sick. I think that's a good answer. I really do. I always go to Jesus first, like he told me, and he always says, by my stripes you're healed.
But what about what the doctor said?
Let all men be liars. You see how simple faith is? But what Kenneth Copeland says, or Jimmy Swaggart says, let all men be liars. If a man comes to me and he's an alcoholic, I don't tell him to go back to the saloon. Come on, folks. And if somebody comes to me for prayer and they're on drugs, I sure don't tell them to go back and shoot some more drugs. Come on. And I can't for the life of me understand how people come for prayer and they say go back to the doctor for checkup. For checkup from what? For what? I don't tell a sinner to go back out and sin to make sure he's saved. Jesus said don't listen to him. See, that's the reason why when those guys drove up last night, the guy kept saying, listen to him. I said, no way am I listening to you. No way, you child of hell. You child of devil. You no way you're putting that junk down my throat. No way you're going to cramp my liberty. No way are you going to destroy my freedom. No way are you going to stop me from fellowship with God's children, no matter what church they come from or what color they are. Come on. No way am I going to separate from somebody who cries he is Lord and loves him because I don't agree with their doctrine. No way. Oh, have mercy. I said, no way. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You hear me? Ain't listening to them. I'm telling you the truth. When they start on me with that stuff, I climb all over with both feet. I ain't letting them turn me away from other people in Christ. Come on, people. I don't care what church you belong to. In fact, I wish you didn't belong to any. Are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? Do you believe on Jesus Christ? Are you sanctified? Are you washed in the blood? Is your name written down? Have you the witness of your spirit that your sins are gone? Hallelujah. How about do you believe he is Lord? Do you love the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, you believe in three in one? Figure it out for yourself. I don't know how to describe them. Come on. I'm not trying to figure that out. Your people try to tell us that Jesus was all the God there was. That's a bunch of nonsense, too. Now I'm going to get into some more theology, okay? The Bible said in him, in Christ, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means that all of God that was possible to put in a body was in Jesus. But there was much more of God than there was in that body. Come on, folk. Amen. You better believe that. You can't put God in that one body. Come on, folk. That's why Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send unto you another Comforter who will expand and fill the universe and fill the tempest. Hallelujah. And be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus was all God, but he was not all of God. If I went out here to the Atlantic Ocean and got me a bucket full of water and brought it back in here, I would have all Atlantic Ocean in that bucket. It would be all Atlantic Ocean. It would be all Atlantic Ocean in the bucket. It would be all Atlantic Ocean. It would be all Atlantic Ocean. Oh, yes, it would. Yes, it would. Don't argue with me. If I went out here and took the bucket and dipped it down to the Atlantic Ocean, all the water in that bucket would be Atlantic Ocean. It would not be all of the Atlantic Ocean, but it would be all Atlantic Ocean. It would not be all of the Atlantic Ocean, but it would be all Atlantic Ocean. Jesus was all God,
but he was not all of God there is. And I'll tell you something else, brother. You know I'm telling the truth. The Bible says this, is that you might be filled with all the fullness of the Godhead. You. And even though you get full, until you can't handle one more, there's enough to fill him too. And enough to fill you too. And enough to fill you too. And when we all get full, there'll be enough for a second dose and a Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Oh, yeah. You think you're going to put God into some little old thing here? Honey, he declares that the heavens are my throne and the permanent handiwork. What in the world are we trying to figure out? Praise the Lord. Don't listen to them, folk. Don't listen to them. There's more to God than in Christ. I'm telling you that. There's more to it. And we're going to find out one of these days when God shows it. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Persons? No, I don't believe God's one person. I don't believe any person at all. I think that is a misconception. God is not a man. He's a spirit. Come on, people. He takes on many forms. He took on the form of a cloud. He took on the form of a light. He took on the form of a well. He took on the form of water. He took on the form of a star. Come on, people. He took on the form of a jackass one time. He did the expressed image. Then he gave us the expressed image of his personage. He said, now man's having a hard time figuring what I am, so I'm going to express myself. And he's the expressed image. But God is much more. And believe me, you're going to find out. You're going to believe me. I don't know why we're arguing, but we do it. And you're going to find out. When I went to heaven and saw Jesus, I'm telling you the truth, it's fantastic to try to explain it. My wife said to me one day driving down the road, she said, honey, when you saw Jesus, was he on the throne? I said, what did I tell you? I forgot. I said he was standing next to the throne. Yeah, the throne was empty because Jesus was standing next to me. And she said, well, how big was the throne? And I said, you couldn't put it up there. Driving in a little van, and I was looking out the window. She said, you trying to tell me the throne? I said, no, it wouldn't fit in what you can see right there. It wouldn't fit there. Somebody say amen. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Reach over and touch somebody and say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise his wonderful name. People keep telling us that God wants us to walk in partial ignorance. And I happen to be reading a verse here, and that's what I turned for real quick. God said to Daniel, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Look at that. He didn't give Daniel's revelation to confuse us. He gave it to help us to understand. People say, we ain't going to know. We ain't going to know. There's another verse of scripture there where Daniel was talking about the secrets of God made known. He said he will tell us about his secrets. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. I want to see him, don't you? Before I close tonight, I want to tell you about that vision or that thing. For many years, preaching amongst the Assemblies of God, Church of God, and the Apostolic UBC, I've always preached anywhere they let me and got kicked out a lot of places. I just will not answer the way they want me to answer. You understand? See, now somebody's going to go out here and say I preached the Trinity, but I haven't. I preach the three in one. I don't preach oneness either. I preach three in one. Now, and I'm not preaching one in three. I'm preaching three in one. Now, you turn it around, you're in trouble. I'm not preaching the one in the three. I'm preaching the three in the one. And I said this time and time again, I've never yet met an honest Trinitarian who denied that Jesus was God. And I have never yet met an honest apostolic who denied the Father and the Holy Ghost. So all that stuff that people argue about is nothing but a bunch of little childish stuff. But one of the things that used to upset me was divine healing. Even today, you know, there are very few divine healing preachers who literally practice divine healing. And so when I would work with these fellows, they would get mad at me because I would preach it absolutely, 100%. Always have done that.
Remember one time when my oldest son was hit with a baseball bat. He's playing baseball in school, and he ran in front of the batter to pick up a ball that had ran out there, and the fellow swung the bat just as he ran in front, and the bat hit him square across the face. I just whap, smashed his nose. When I got to the school, the school would not treat him because they knew they were not allowed to treat him, because we had told them that we didn't want no doctors treating our children, and we had exercised our prerogative, and they wouldn't do nothing. So when I got there, he was bleeding out of his nose, his eyes, his mouth, and his ears. And he was laying in just a mangled mess. And I walked in, and I started to kneel down. He started to cry, and he said, "Daddy, am I going to die?" I said, "No." I said, "You're not going to die." He said, "That nurse told me if you didn't take me to a doctor, I was going to die." And I just whirled around twice. I said, "Mind your own business, lady." She said, "Well, we all know about you, you old faith healer." "Well, I'm not a faith healer." See, I don't believe in faith healing. I believe in divine healing. Big difference. Amen. You can have faith in the doctors, or faith in the pills, or faith in the drugs. Come on, people. I believe in divine healing. I believe God doing the healing. So I just, she said, "Well, we know about you." I said, "Well," she said, "what are you going to do about that bleeding?" "Oh," so I brought my doctor with me. And he stopped. I took the boy home, washed his face, sent him right back to school. But the point I'm trying to get across was I've always been criticized for preaching divine healing. Always. From the people that taught it to me. That's the thing that amazes me. From the people who taught it to me. That's why I have to tell you black folk. You're the one that taught me how to shout. Now I got to come back and teach you all how to do it again. Yeah, you're the one that taught me how to do this. White folks don't do that. White folks don't do that. White folks don't clap like y'all. White folks clap like this. I learned how to shout with black folk. That's right. Now I got to come back and teach y'all how to do it. Same with divine healing. I learned divine healing from the Church of God. I learned divine healing from the Assemblies of God. From the UPC. Yes, I did. I never forget in Knoxville, Tennessee, I got bit by a black little spider. One of the first lessons I learned that the Church of God don't believe what they preach. I was up in the back of a truck and a black little spider bit me right there. My arm swelled up. And I went all over town trying to find somebody to pray for me on Sunday morning. I went to the Assembly of God, Church of God. I want every church to believe in divine healing. And I walked down front and my arm was red and swelling up. And I'd say to the pastor, "Would you pray for me?" And they'd take a bottle of oil and they'd pray for me. And they'd look at my arm and say, "You want to take it to the doctor?" And I staggered out of that place. I said, "Lord, is there nobody in this town that believes God?" I was only about 22 at the time, 21 at the time. And I started walking down the street trying to figure out, "What am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? There ain't nobody going to help me." And I heard somebody playing on a washboard. See, now the generation don't know what a washboard is. But see, the old folk years ago, the old black folk didn't have no organs and no drums. All they had was washboards and little tang, little, you see, you take pans and hit them together. Yeah, this pan and hit them together. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I heard somebody playing on a washboard. "I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted." Boy, they're similar. And I looked down the street, and out from underneath one of the front porches came a big pile of dust. And I went and I looked underneath the porch down into a little basement. There was a little old black sister down, and she was having church. It was packed with people. And they were dancing, and the dust was coming up so high, you couldn't hardly see them in there. Kicking up the dust, brother. Here they were. And I walked in there, and I walked down front, and I said to the little sister, "Sure do, son. What's the matter with you?" And I looked at her. "Woo," she said, "you sure do need the Lord." I said, "But you come to the right place." Took an old bottle of oil and poured it on me, boy. I just poured it on me. Hallelujah. Yes. I rebuke this thing. Be healed. And I raise your hand and thank God you're made whole. See? He didn't say nothing about going to no doctor. See, them poor black folk back there, they couldn't afford to go to the doctor. It's only when they started getting welfare and free clinics they started going to the doctors. Used to have faith before that. That's right. Mm-hmm. Worst thing ever done for you old folk was give you Medicare. That's the worst thing ever done for you. Some of you folk couldn't afford to be sick if you didn't have Medicare, you know. No. See, now I can get sick and say, "I can afford it. The government will pay for it." Hello. How could you pay for all that stuff y'all were getting done to you if you didn't have Medicaid? You'd have that faith, wouldn't you? Huh? Hello? Hello? Look at these folks. Look at me. Hello? Come on.
Well, I might as well use it, Brother Stairs. Free. Free. You know? Even if it does destroy my face, it's free.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm trying to tell you tonight, don't listen to them, folks. I haven't changed my message. Don't listen to what they're saying to you. Quit listening to what they're trying to tell you. God is still God. Remember the old Church of God song, sister? He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the sun arose. He's God way up in heaven. He's God way down deep in my soul. I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, and He always will be God. Come on. He's God in the fire, and the Father, and He's God in the Son, and He's God in the Holy Ghost. Oh, here we go back to the Trinity again. Oh, boy. God, all three in one. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. He's God to heal the blind man, and He made the lame to walk. He's the God of Daniel's fire, and is the one that I hear talk. Somebody say praise the Lord. Raise your hand and say yes.
Hallelujah.
See, I'm smart. Ain't I smart? See, I got all this milk and honey up here, and you all want it so bad you won't walk out on me. I'm going to give it to you, but it might be after midnight. If I'd have given it to you beforehand, you'd all be going home already, see?
Got you all figured out. Praise the Lord.
Well, about 12 years ago, I went in what we used to call a shut-in because I was troubled about preaching divine healing because everybody was buffeting me, saying I was preaching it too strong. And I went in a shut-in for 7 days, and after 7 days, I still didn't make no contact. So I decided that would be the last day. God just didn't seem to want to talk to me. But as I started to stir myself in the room where I was in, before all of a sudden I was gone. And I looked back down, and I could see my body laying right on the bed where I had been. And I went right up through the roof, right up through the heavens. And when I got up there, a good piece, the Lord met me. And He just took me by the hand, and He took me right to the holy city. I've seen it. Somebody says, can you describe it? John did his best. But it's very difficult to describe it. I tried to explain it the other night. It's all light. Everything in the city is light. Even Jesus is light. Everything is light. Even... It's glistening, sparkling light. Hallelujah. It's light. It's a city of light. Yes, it is, folk. Amen. And the walls that are made of jasper are light. The body of Jesus is light. He took me all through that holy city, and I looked at everything. And I can tell you, people, there's a song we used to sing years ago, and it went like this. For years I traveled this whole wide world over. And I've seen beauty so rich and rare. But in that down here, there is nothing there. Oh, shoot, out there in California, he thinks he's built a crystal cathedral. Boy, when you see that holy city glistering, all the radiant, beautiful colors of the rainbow, come on, in colors like you have never witnessed, and the sparkling of it. And then the most important thing is to see Jesus, you're going to see something. But the point I want to get, he brought me back to the gates, and he said to me, I want you to go back. And I said to him, I don't want to go. He said, but your work's not done. You know, that's nothing new. Whenever the Lord does that, He always sends them back. My hand, I will lead you beside still waters, yea, in green pastures. Hear me, as we come to the end of time, I have promised to be with you even unto the end. Yea, my people, arise and be strong in your faith. Oh, do not be turned aside, for I am the good shepherd, and I shall lead this flock. Yea, I shall dwell in the midst of my sheep, and the wolf shall not devour them. Yea, and the wolf shall not come and destroy and scatter you, for I shall destroy that wolf that shall come in the midst of thee. My children, open up your heart. Love me, worship me, magnify me, praise me. I dwell where you praise me. I love to hear your praises. Yea, I say unto you this night, your sins are forgiven, your sicknesses are healed, your spirit is at peace. Yea, believe me this night, I am here in the midst of thee. Yea, if thou shalt lift your voice and praise me, all pain shall go from your body, all weariness shall leave your spirit. Yea, I shall rebuke the devourer, and I will make a way out of no way, but I dwell in the midst of thee. There is nothing too hard for me, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe you, Lord. I reach up and take our miracle too, Lord. You know what we have need of. You said in your word that you know what we have need of before we ask it. Get these people out of debt, Lord. Show them how to pay off their debts. Oh, I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray that they might have the financial resources to clear themselves from this world system, Lord. Show them, guide them, direct their path in Jesus' wonderful name. Glory to God. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, receive the Holy Ghost. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Receive me the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. Yea, my people, drink. 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 Drink that you might be full. Oh, bahakotata bahandala hase. Yilalohandala babasuri yamubaheya. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I receive, Lord. I receive. I need you. And I receive from you tonight. I blot out everything that comes against the knowledge of Christ. And I move in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Lady sitting way in the back in the green dress, way back there. Look at me, please. Look at me, lady. Stand up, ma'am. Stand up way back there in the back. First night you've been here, isn't it? You've been here before? Well, I'm glad you made it back tonight. You love the Lord? Praise the Lord. You've been having some kind of a blood situation. Listen to me closely. Some kind of a blood infection. I'm not quite sure what it was, because it causes puffiness in the arm and puffiness all over and numbness, a great deal of numbness. And a lightness in your head, but the Lord just touched you a few moments ago. Raise your hands right on up there and be made whole in the name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the sole of the feet, let the purity of the blood flow in Jesus' name. It shall be according to my word. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is in this place. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want the sister sitting right there next to Mother Willis. Stand up, please, ma'am. Stand up right there. You've been here before? First night you've been here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord loves you tonight. Just keep worshiping. Don't stop. Just let those tears flow. What is that, Lord Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Don't listen to them. That's right. Just go ahead and take it. Praise the Lord. You been to the doctor lately, sister? You been to the doctor lately? Did they want to operate on you? Did they want to operate on you? They did. They already operated on you? What did they operate on you for? What did they operate on you for? Huh? Chronic infection. Where, in your womb? In your female organs? The operation didn't take care of it. You know that, don't you? Didn't take care of it, but the Lord's going to take care of it for you tonight. You had a lot of pain in your body, haven't you? You had a lot of pain? Have you had a lot of pain? Yes. I tell you what it is, sister. Spirit of God's telling me now. In your womb, you have a little growth in your womb, and they didn't get it. They didn't get it, sister. But the Lord's getting it right now. Yes, He is. Your faith is touching Him. Put your hand right on your stomach. Put your hand right on. That's right. In the name of Jesus. Oh, there it is, like 30 coals of fire. Praise God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Ah, she has moved the hand of God tonight. Oh, yes, she has. Hallelujah. Let her operate. Ah, just lay her down. If you can find a room to put her right on down, just let her lay there. That'll be all right. Oh, my Lord. God is such a good God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Honey, Sugar Mama's back there. Go back and put your hand on Sugar Mama. Go pray for her tonight. She's been having trouble with them legs and that eye. And we've been, ain't no sense us living around this person without that, putting our faith to work. Mama's been having trouble with those legs. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the power of God come upon this woman, Lord. Open up those eyes, Lord. Purify those vision. Heal those legs. Take out the pain and the stiffness. I rebuke the arthritis and the rheumatism, and we command it to let it go free in the name of Jesus. Oh, take away the swelling out of the eye. Let the cataracts be gone and heal her. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, Sugar Mom. That's right. Just praise Him, hon, like you always do. Tomorrow's going to be a good day. Tonight, you'll sleep tonight. Go ahead, sister. Get full so you lay them cigarettes down. No more smoking now. Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't quit now because I mentioned smoking. Go ahead and get free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, right here, my dear sister, right here. I can't seem to define what I'm trying to do. But I have you been not feeling too well? I've been trying to figure out, let the Spirit tell me. But I have you been having digestive trouble? With the food not digesting well enough, or constantly not having it? But I feel such a weakness coming out of your body. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? Would you call that a good prayer? Would you call that a good prayer? Hey, I want a response out of you. Squeak, grunt, moan, or do something. I want a response out of you. You don't sit on me like you're bumping along or not in a pickle. I want a response out of you. Act like you're alive. I ain't preaching to dead folk. Wiggle, squirm, do something, bless God. Isn't that a good prayer, brother? Huh? Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Look at the next verse, and it'll shock you right out of your seat. But he answered her, not a word. I told you, I asked before I started, if somebody had asked Jesus to help him and he wouldn't do it, would you believe it? And there's a woman who asked him, And he wouldn't answer. Read it again, any way you want to. I read it right. Here's a woman who said, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word." That don't sound like the Jesus we know, does it? Does that sound like the Jesus we know? He said, "Call upon me and I'll answer." Here's a woman who called, he would answer. He said, "He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." You go on and read that story, he told that woman to go home. The Bible says that she turned around and said to the apostle, "Speak to him for me." And he turned around and said, "I have not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Get away from me, lady. I can't help you." Why did Jesus do that? Don't tell me the story's not there. We've heard it preached 1,000 times, but we never really seem to get the message out of it. We think it's a little fairy tale. Here's a woman who had a daughter that was tormented by a demon. She came to Jesus, and he answered her not even a word. Does that sound like the Jesus you know about? Oh, yeah, you believe the story because it's in the Bible. But I'm asking you, is that the way Christ has been presented to us always? In most cases, we've always been told that you just ask and you shall receive. You seek and you find. But here's a woman who's seeking. Here's a woman who's asking, and he won't even answer her. Something's wrong, isn't it? Maybe if we can find out what's wrong, we'll find out why you're not getting your prayers answered. And it's like I said last night, ain't nobody gets all your prayers answered. In fact, every single one of you sitting here tonight have prayed more prayers that did not get answered than you prayed that did get answered. Now, you rejoice over the ones that get answered, but do you ever try to figure out why the ones that didn't get answered, what was wrong? You see, the woman made a mistake. The woman made a very bad mistake. And I'm going to try to show it to you in a little while. But let's see if we can picture the story. The lady has a daughter who has some kind of spells, perhaps epilepsy, or some kind of a spiritual or mental deficiency. She would go into trances. She would go into fits. And that, I believe that mother did everything she could to get help for that child. How many folk believe that? I believe she'd gone to every doctor, every soothsayer, every root man, every television preacher. I believe she tried everybody. And nobody could help her. And finally, one day, she says to herself, "I'm just going to take care of this child." And she starts taking in ironing and washing so she can stay home to wash the child. Because the child would go into spits, and it would almost swallow its tongue. How many know what I'm talking about? Huh? And so the mother had to be there constantly to wash the child. One day, as she's sitting there ironing some clothes, somebody comes running in the house, and I'm going to give her a name. I'm going to call her Betty. Is that all right with you? I won't give her a name. Somebody comes running and says, Betty, I got good news for you. Now, Betty's discouraged. She's been everywhere. She's tried everything. And she don't want to hear no more bad stories. So she says to her neighbor, "Get away from me. I don't want to hear no more. I don't want to hear no more. Every time you get my hopes up, I go somewhere and I don't get nothing. I don't want to hear no more." But Betty, this is different. This is different. You've heard about that man, Jesus. The one that walked on the water and turned it into wine. And fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Hallelujah. The one that raised the dead and cleansed the lepers and made the crooked limbs straight. Have you folk heard about that man? Have you heard about that fellow? Hallelujah. Oh, that be the God who can open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. Have you heard about him? Somebody say, "Yes, Lord." And I can hear old Betty say, "Yeah, but that's, you're talking about Jesus, aren't you?" "Yeah, I'm talking about Jesus. But you know he's not going to help me. He's a Jew. And I'm a Samaritan. You know Jews don't have no dealing with us Samaritans." But what have you got to lose? Humble yourself. Get to him some way. Oh, I heard he don't turn nobody down. I heard he helps everybody. The news that we get is he never. You don't have to have no money. You don't have to belong to any church. If you can get to him, he'll help you. But who's going to take care of my little girl? I'll take care of her. You just go find Jesus. So finally, Betty takes her little old clothes and wraps them around her, and she runs down the street to where she finds where Jesus is walking right down the street. Her biggest problem is, how is she going to get to him? She can't walk right up to him because that's not allowed. Do you understand that? She was a Gentile. She was not a Jewish person. And they had no dealings with each other. They practiced segregation. So I can see her get down alongside the road and just sort of wait. And closer and closer and closer Jesus comes. Her hope is real high. If I can just burst out there and get to him to help him to notice me, I know he'll help me, because every report we get, he helps. All of a sudden, she bursts from the side of the road. She runs out to where Jesus is. She falls right down and she cries, "Oh Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." He looks at her and just walks right away from her. He wouldn't even answer her a word. Is that the way your Bible reads? You're hardheads, aren't you? You know I'm on to something, but you don't want to admit it. Huh? I got you questioning, and you don't know the answer, and you won't sit there and give me some credibility because I got the answer. Come on. I'm telling you, Jesus would answer the woman. And I know the reason why he wouldn't. I wish I could picture that woman. I wish I was an actor. Every time I do this, I could see her sitting there with tears streaming down her cheeks. Her hope was so high. And all of a sudden, she says, "Have mercy. Help me. Where are you going? Help me. Sir. Why won't he help me? I was told he would help me. Sir, help me. Aren't you one of his men, Peter? Are you Peter, Matthew? Aren't you his disciples? Please, please speak to him for me. I need help." Old Peter says, "Get away from me, woman. Lord, send her away. Send her away, Lord. She cries out. She's troubling us. Make her leave us alone." Tell me the story don't read like that. Go ahead, tell me it don't read like that. Go ahead, tell me it don't read like that. And then Jesus turned right around and got real smart, too. He laid it right on her. "That's right, woman, get out of here. I haven't been sent to help you. Leave. I've only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you don't belong to the house of Israel. Move, lady." "Oh, Jesus wouldn't do nothing like that." Well, then I guess I better get my knife out and cut that scripture out. Let me see. Let's just take the 15th chapter and just, should I tear it out? "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She was a Syrophoenician woman. She did not belong to the house of Israel. So he had not been sent to help her. Now that still don't sound like Jesus though, does it? Maybe you can read the story and not get troubled by it, but I got troubled by it. That young man sitting back there is getting troubled by it. He's trying to figure out, that ain't what I heard about Jesus. Hey, if Jesus will turn her away because she's a Syrophoenician, might turn him away because he's black. Or you away because you're white. What's going on here, Lord? Somebody said he was testing her faith. The Lord never tests your faith. The Lord strengthens your faith, encourages your faith. He never tests it. Oh, the devil will, but God doesn't. Come on, God adds to your faith. Come on, people. God don't test your faith. He's on your side, in your corner, fighting your battle. Come on. His strength's made perfect in your weakness. Come on, people. God is not against you. He's for you. Come on. Amen. Come on. So God ain't out here trying to see if he can wipe you out. He's trying to bring you in. He's not trying to put you down. He's trying to lift you up. So something was wrong there. The woman did something wrong. What did she do wrong? I'm going to tell you what she did wrong. She did the same thing wrong that most people are doing in this country. She approached Jesus as a man. As a man, he couldn't help her. As a man, he was limited. As a man, he was confined by a covenant. As a man, he was restricted by promises. Come on, people. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Thou son of David. Thou son of David. My friend, he might have been the son of David, but he was more than that. He was the son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, people. Amen. Even Jesus, as the son of David, said, it's better for you that I go away. As long as I stay here in this flesh and you call me the son of David, I can't help you. He said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send unto you another comforter. Amen. Even the spirit of truth. And he'll go home with you to Inverness tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm over here. I praise the Lord. He'll go with you wherever you go. Somebody say amen. Lift up your head and say, praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Now, I want to tell you what Jesus did. Actually, what he did was he preached a little sermon to her. That's what he did. People say to me, oh, he was testing her faith. And I say, testing her faith. Why, there ain't nobody under this tent have faith like that woman did. Amen. There's only two places in the Bible where Jesus ever recognized faith to be great. And she was one of them. The other place was a centurion who said, speak the word only, and my servant shall live. And Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. That was the first place he recognized great faith. And this woman, he said to her, woman, great is your faith. Come on, she had great faith. Yet even with great faith, when she came to him in the wrong way, even then her faith could not do it. Come on, people. If you think just faith by itself does the job, you're wrong. The Bible said, add to your faith knowledge. Amen. There's a right way, a right approach, a right thing. Come on, people, to ask for. You ask for the wrong thing in the wrong way, and you shut up the kingdom of heaven onto yourself. Lady come to me one time and asked me to pray for God to save her husband. Now, I believe God's will to save anybody's husband, don't you? I said, let's pray. She said, Brother Stair, he beats me, and he don't give me no money, and he's mean to me. I want God to save him. So I said, okay, let's pray. So we started to pray. She said, oh, God, save my husband so he don't beat me. God, save my husband so he give me some money. God, save me some save my husband so he treat me. I said, lady, shut up. I said, what kind of prayer is that? Why don't you say, God, I love my husband. Save him so he don't go to hell. Save him so he don't beat me. Don't care if he goes to hell as long as he don't beat me. Save him so he gives me some money so I can go shopping. Don't care if he goes drinking as long as I can go shopping. Pray for the right thing but the wrong way. All over America today, we got Christians praying for revival, yet they won't seek unity. And that's the only way we're going to have revival. Come on. Swagger wants to do it all by himself. PTL wants to do it all by himself. Eat Rex Humber doing it all by himself. Jerry Falwell raising up champions for Jesus. Jimmy Swagger going to build a world headquarters to get the gospel to all the world. PTL's going to beam it on satellite everywhere. Oral Roberts going to get them all well in Tulsa. Everybody wants revival, but nobody wants unity. And a house divided cannot stand. The Church of God wants revival, but it's got to be in the Church of God. And the Assembly of God wants revival, but it's got to be the Assembly of God. And the Baptists want revival, but it's got to be Baptist. Huh? And the black folks want revival, but it's got to be black. And the white folks want it, but it's got to be white. And the Trinitarians want it, but it's got to be Trinitarian. and the apostolic put it, but everybody got to go in the water and see the thing. We need somebody we don't agree with, and right away we separate. Instead of trying to find some way to fellowship long enough so we can learn from each other and reprove each other and correct each other. And if we judge, they'll say, you're not supposed to judge. Doesn't the Bible say judge not unless you be judged? And they think that means you ain't supposed to judge. That ain't what it says. It didn't say you shouldn't judge. It said they that are spiritual judge all things. Come on, people. We're supposed to judge each other. We're supposed to judge with righteousness, though, not in unrighteousness. The Bible says, why seest thou the beam in thy brother's eye when thou hast a mote in thine own eye? First take the mote out of your eye, then you will see clearly, 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 then you will see clearly. I keep telling people, for God's sake, judge me. Judge me! Brother, don't take that word and judge me. Don't let me go to hell. Judge me. I didn't say condemn me. I said judge me. Come on, put it to me. I believe I can walk to it. If God said it, I believe I can walk it. Come on, if God declared it, I believe we can do it. If God said be perfect, I believe we can make it. If God said be holy, I believe we can get there. Somebody say amen. If God said blessed are the pure in heart, I believe we can get a pure heart. Oh, yes. If the Bible said follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, I believe we can be holy. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. If God calls peculiar people, I believe we can be peculiar. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Somebody said, I don't believe we have to talk in tongues. I'm not doing it because I have to. I'm doing it because it hooks me in with the glory world. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, I don't believe I have to go to church and shout. You got me all wrong, honey. You think I'm over here because I have to. I'm having a ball over here. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I was glad when they said, let us go to the church. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. But I don't believe you have to do all of that, honey. You don't have to, but when you get it right, you'll want to. Bible said, praise him in the dance. Bible said, leap for joy. To clap your hands, all you people. Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Bible said, lift up holy hands. You got holy hands? You got holy hands, then lift them up. Lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Bible said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Boy, some of you folk are sure stubborn. Boy, some of these stubborn folk. The Lord didn't tell me to raise my hand. I just got finished telling you what he told you to raise your hand. The word of God said lift up holy hands. It was talking to you. You stubborn, stiff neck. Raise your hands up. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, I'll praise him in my heart. The Bible said if you praise him from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you get mad at your old man, you don't keep it in the heart. When you want to fuss at somebody, you don't keep it in the heart. You let it come out of your big mouth. Praise God. So let your praises come out of your mouth. Glorify the King of glory. Exalt the Holy One of Israel. Give him praise and honor. Let's offer up the sacrifice of praise. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Good. Shout all you want to. Just walk straight when you hit the ground. That's all. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You know, Jesus, let me get back to the story now, and I'll close very quickly. Jesus preached to the little woman. That's what he did. He said, I have not been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, and when he said that, the woman saw what a mistake was. She approached him as a man. As a man, he couldn't help her. See, he was sent to the Jew first. He was sent to give them an opportunity and under the covenant that God had made with Abraham. But when he said that to the little woman, she caught the message and she changed her plea. Look what she did the second time. When she heard what he said, she turned around and she, I could hear her saying, wait a minute, I know what I did wrong.
I called you a Jew. But haven't I heard that you're God? Aren't you the Son of God? As a Jew, you can turn me down. But as God, you can't turn me down. And the Bible says she fell down and she worshipped him. She wouldn't have worshipped the man. Come on. She wouldn't have worshipped the man. She fell down and worshipped him, and she changed her whole cry. She said, Lord, help me. Come on. She ain't worried about the devil now. She's not worried about her daughter now. She said, Lord, if you just help me get straight, I'll take care of my own daughter and whoop that devil myself. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Yeah. Brother, if you ever get yourself straight, you can take care of your own problems. You can do like that sister with the Lord. You know what the Lord said to that woman last night with those glasses? When she testified, the Lord told her to pray for her own eyes. Now, why did he just go heal her eyes? Why did he just go heal her eyes? Huh? No, he made her put her hands on her own eyes. The Lord, in Jesus' name, I rebuke this foul blindness. I command my eyes to be strong in the God. Get out of my eyes, you devil. Hallelujah. You know, there is a statement in that story that defies all description. The woman said, she worshipped him, and she said, Lord, help me. And Jesus stops now. He stops now. Come on. He said, woman, you got me. He said, you got me between a rock and a hard place. Huh? He said, what you're asking isn't right. It's not right. It's not right to take children's bread and cast it to a dog. Oh, boy. Oh. I think you're talking to. He called that woman a dog. But the woman knew he was God and that he was truth. So she didn't argue, did she? She's like, God called you a sinner. Quit arguing with him. God said there's none good. So quit boasting about how good you are. He's truth. Quit arguing with him. The woman didn't argue, did she? He said, woman, it's not right to take children's bread. I could see her on her knees and cast it to a dog. That's the truth, Lord. Truth. Oh, brother, when you start to love truth, when you start to receive truth, come on. Hallelujah. She said, truth, Lord. She says, can I tell you some more truth? What's that? She said, even the dogs. Even the dogs. Even the dogs. Even the dogs eat of the crumbs that falls from the master's table. He said, I don't want the whole loaf of bread. Go ahead and feed the kids. Just let me have a crumb. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, may God help you. You know what Jesus did to that woman? He said something. I want you to listen close to what he said. He turned around and he said something that never was said before. Most preachers have never caught it. Very few preachers ever preach it. He said, woman, great is thy faith. Now that we understand. But the next woman, great is, honey, I'm preaching. Now, you know this sermon. I want them to catch it. I know you know about it. I want them to see it. They don't see it. They don't see it. Huh? He says, be it unto you even as this woman made God do something that wasn't even in his will. She made him move outside the covenant. We always pray, thy will be done. He said, woman, your will. Your will has moved me this time. You don't hear me, do you? You still don't hear it, do you? You still don't get it, do you? Huh? You still don't understand. This woman, by accepting truth, by humbling herself, by sticking with faith, she changed the will of God. She made God do something that wasn't even time for him to do. Be it unto you, even as thou wilt. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one day and they said, Lord, would you increase our faith? He said, no, why should I do that? Because God has dealt to every man a measure. And he said, if you had faith as a grain, which is the smallest measure, you could say to the sycamore tree, be it. And be thou cast into the sea. You know what the next phrase says? And it should obey you. No, I got it right. It should or shall, same difference, obey you. It should do it. It should obey you. Come on, folk. Come on. You should say to your blind eyes, leave me. Go. Cancer, leave me. Go. Diabetes, leave me. Go. Say it. Believe it. I agree with it. Somebody say amen. Drug trouble, go. Sickness, go. Family trouble, go. Come on. He said, you don't need more faith. You already got more. You believe that, sir? You sitting way back there. You know you got enough faith to move a sycamore tree? You didn't know you had that much power, did you? You walk around having black power, honey. You ought to get Holy Ghost power. Then you'll move mountains. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I love you, brother. Bless you. You're close to the kingdom. That $1 million smile is loud. That'll be the Holy Ghost smile here in a minute. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. 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 The woman approached Jesus as a man. As a man he couldn't help. Came to him as God. He had to, because God is no receiver, even if the government won't, even if the church won't, even if the doctor can't, he has to help you. Hallelujah. David said the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his fears. David said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Why would you do that? He said, because my help cometh from the Lord who hath made heaven and earth. The apostle Paul says, I will boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only thing wrong with this crowd tonight is I got some dead wood here. That's all. If I ever get this fire burning, boy, this dry wood's going to go up in smoke. Hallelujah. If I can keep striking at this old flint rock, brother, I'll get a spark out here, and this bunch of dry stuff is going to burn like wildfire. Amen. I'd rather have dry wood than wet wood. Takes longer to deal with wet wood, folks. You stay dry, we'll get you sparked up yet. Some people walk in church like they're going to a movie house. Praise the Lord. How are you young fellas doing tonight? What's your name? Oh, nice knowing you. I'm going to pray for you, okay? All right, thank you. God say amen. See, you had a good spirit now. You see that spirit there? That spirit wasn't bad. You ask some saved folk, you say, sure, why you ask? Huh? I always ask people, say, ask me if I'm saved. Ask me if I'm saved, brother. Yeah, and I'm glad you asked. Ask the person next to you. I say, are you saved? Boy, not too many people ask. What's the matter? You afraid they're going to ask you? Are you saved? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want you two young men back there to come and stand with me. I want to pray with you just a minute. Come on. Would you do that? You two young ladies right here. I just want you to come. I want to pray with you. All right? Come on. Come on, sir. Come on, you with that $1 million smile that bless your heart. Come on down, I want to pray with you. In Jesus' name, come on down here. I ain't going to hurt you. Come on. I want you to go back to your seat in a minute. I just want to let me pray with you. If you're going to come here, I'll come there. And I can run faster than you. Yeah. No, you stand right here. You stand right here. Come on, young ladies. You two young ladies right there. Come on to me. Come on. Come on, fella. Hey there, big brother. Come on. Come on, I want to pray with you. My Lord. You come pray with me then if you want. Come on, young lady. Come on. Just face this way. Face this way like this. Don't face. Have you ever been saved at all? Huh? You know what it means to be saved? Come over here. I ain't going to hurt you. You're too big for me to get hold of anyway. I love you, brother. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm glad you came.
You too, dear. God bless
you. Aren't you glad to have that? You didn't know you had that much courage, did you? It takes courage to walk down front, doesn't it?
That's right.
Sure does. See, it takes real men to walk down. Would you like to be saved from your sin? You want to go to hell? You've been living in hell.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm talking about all of us sin. Everybody in this tent is sin now. You know that, don't you? Ain't nobody here better than anybody else. That's right. They all have sinned. Everybody's sinned. people say they're saved out here, that means they had to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sins and come into my heart. And the Bible says this. It says if we confess all night, he's liable to take your cigarettes away from you. No more. Won't that be nice? Not at all. Well, what's got you all spaced out here then a little bit? Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, the Bible says this, all you Christians. It says if you see someone who has not sinned, a sin unto death. Come on. My wife prayed before this service started with just a handful of people. My wife began to pray, Lord, draw people to this tent. Before most of you were even here, this tent only had about 15 people in when she started to pray that prayer. And you see what God did? He drew all his folk in here. And then he drew these young people. And he didn't bring them for nothing. He brought them to save them. Amen. And I want every one of you to join hands and we're going to ask God to save them. We're going to ask for their soul. And while I do that, I want you to pray. Okay, so I'll pray. Father, we pray for these two men. We thank you that you brought them under the tent tonight. We're not asking them to join a church. We don't have no church for them to join. We just ask you, Lord, to somehow let the Holy Ghost deal with their heart. And as they stand here before us tonight and they're praying, forgive me for my sins. Save me from hell. Have mercy on me. I believe you died on the cross for me, Lord. I believe you're my Savior, and I want to trust in you for my life that I may live it and serve you. I give my life to you, Lord. I give my will to you. Deliver me from sin and set me free. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for this man. I bind and cast from him the unclean spirit that would drag his soul into hell. We charge him to be free and transformed by the anointing of God and the power of the blood of Jesus. And I thank you for it. And this precious man, Lord, who's praying with us, I command the unclean spirit that would possess his life and his soul to come out of him. Let his soul be transformed and let his whole nature be changed and his heart be converted. In the name of Jesus, I ask for his soul. And this young woman, Lord, who stands before us with honesty tonight, I pray that you'll save her from this untoward generation. Wash her clean in the blood. Redeem her through that precious grace of God and through the precious blood. Change her whole being, Lord. Give her a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And make her the child of God she wants to be and you want her to be. In Jesus' name, I pray for this young lady, Lord. We rebuke all the uncleanness, all the powers of darkness that would drag their soul to hell and set them free in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. I praise you for their souls. I rejoice in their forgiveness tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my friend. Praise the Lord. I believe you were praying. Were you praying with me? How about it? Were you praying with me, sir? Huh? God help you. I could tell you were praying. You believe the Lord did it for you tonight? How about you, dear? Huh? God bless you. You may go back to your seat. Sure. Whenever. Huh? Who's Willie be? You've been a long time, haven't I, Willie?
Yeah, you've been
I was here at Sunlight Temple. That's it. Willie B. Thomas.
Long time.
Letters. He's been writing me, see? Now we finally got the... Yeah, I even got my letter right there in his hand. Sure, I remember you got the prayer cloth, too. Well, now, Willie, we're going... Now, why don't you come and visit me sometime in South Carolina? Come and spend a few days with me, okay? And we'll get you off all this... Well, come and spend a few days with me. Yeah. Come here, let me pray about that, too. Come here. Father, just deliver Brother Willie B. smoking. God, he's reaching out to you! All of these years, he's kept in touch with me, Lord. All of these years, he's kept in touch with this man of God. Now we ask for him, Lord, that he'll be free from sin and free from every habit. Oh, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name. Praise. I'm serious about you. Come and stay with me sometime now. I mean that. I got a big house. I can sleep 60 people and feed them all. Don't cost you nothing either. Won't buy no cigarettes, but I'll buy you some black-eyed peas and collard greens. Amen. Give you some ham hocks. Yes. Everybody's welcome to come visit me at camp meeting time if you'd like to come. Or any time. You want to just get away for a while, just come to our place. We got folk living there. Nobody ever has to pay. We got sheep and goats and chickens. We got bees and garden. We got everything you can ask for. Even got Jesus there, believe it or not. And you don't have to pay. Isn't that something? Jimmy Swaggart don't do that, does he? When we first bought that place, God said, don't you charge nobody. And we don't charge nobody. And the only people that stuck us have been preachers. Almost everybody else comes to give us something. They can't give us money, they give us work. The preachers come in, they want to eat and sleep and take it easy and give us nothing. I tell you, these preachers, boy, they better get saved. That's why the church is all messed up. The preachers need to get saved. They got their eyes on that dollar. Huh? That big money. Huh? Well, I'm glad you came tonight, Mama. Father, I thank you for this little lady. Thus we charge it to leave her. From this night on, we command in that powerful name of Jesus, her eyesight be clear. She loves you, Lord. And she comes and she listens to the word tonight. Now we ask for a miracle. A miracle in the name of Jesus, not for her sake, but for the glory of God. That we might give you praise and honor. You spirit of darkness, loose! Loose this woman! Be thou gone! In the name. Hallelujah. God bless the little father, the little man, Lord. Thank you for their love for truth. Praise God. Praise. Isn't he wonderful? We'll have two services tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning and 7:30 tomorrow night. In fact, we might deal, if the Lord will let us, tomorrow night. I'm hoping that I can get finished with all of this rebuking and you see, that's what I'm trying to say. If you stay with me, after a while I get a group of people I won't have to keep on rebuking. You understand what I'm saying? As long as I keep getting new people, I got to go back over the same territory a lot of time and correct and reprove and rebuke until I get enough folk who know where we're standing at. I hope you understand very carefully that I'm not just another preacher traveling through your town. I've been in the ministry for 32 years, and I'll tell you, I've lived in the front of that trailer for months at a time. I send thousands of dollars to Mission Works and radio broadcasting, and we still live like that.